Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody cares. Man, if I had a nickel to count how many times I've heard that expression over the last 9 months. Nobody cares. People tend to say that when problems are coming their way and the people that they might expect to reach out to them don't. And then they express, nobody cares. Here's some cases that I've heard those exact words, many of them just within the last month. A health concern comes your way. Multiple health concerns come your way, and your situation's very complicated from a health perspective. It's hard to find a doctor, and then you finally find one, and they know you, and they know all the ins and outs of your health situation, but then that doctor leaves. And you don't have anyone else to turn to. There aren't any alternatives. And you say those words late at night, nobody cares. A time of isolation comes your way. And you just want to connect with someone. You want someone to connect with you, just with a simple phone call. You check your messages each day thinking, well, someone must have left a message. Then the phone finally rings. But it's that automated message that is reminding you that your car warranty will expire in the next few months. Do you get those? I get those almost every day. But if that's the only phone call you're getting, you can say those words at night. Nobody cares. It goes beyond that. A conversation happens at the Thanksgiving Day table, and as there's so many topics that can take the conversation down so many different rabbit holes, it goes in that direction. Your thought is, certainly there will be an email and a text from my relative in a week or two. Maybe a box of chocolates, that's their way they'll connect. Or maybe a card for Christmas. It'll resolve and figure itself out. A week passes, 2 weeks passes, months pass. And even in your own family, you come to the conclusion, nobody cares. My friends, we can even come to that conclusion with God. God seems silent. God seems absent. In times like these, we can get to that point. We can even say that word about our faith journey. Nobody cares. Not even, it seems like God doesn't even care. And once we say those words, you see, the next step is a very dangerous step. It's bitterness. And the next step is even further isolation. And things just go south. My friends, how do we know when somebody cares? Our text today gives us two answers. We know that someone cares from our gospel text when we hear from them that they approve of us, when they affirm us. That is what happens, my friends, in our gospel text with Jesus when he's baptized in Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Jesus hears the approval of God the Father. Now, during Jesus' day, it was believed by the Jews that heaven consisted of many, many layers, perhaps 9 layers. And at that top layer was where God sat, where God dwelled. And that top layer was where there was light and the presence of God. But in between, there was layer after layer after layer. And the prevailing notion during Jesus' day was this: no human being could really penetrate any of those layers and hear directly from God. Up to the time of Jesus, realize this, up to the time of Jesus, no one had a direct speaking voice talk to them from heaven for 400 or 500 years. The Bible describes kind of a silent period. The thought during that time period by the Jews was that the only thing they could hear would be echoes from God, whispers. In fact, the Hebrew term for this is called bath kol. The people living in Jesus' day, it would be kind of like being in your own home, behind closed doors, but hearing voices out in the street. You don't really know what those voices are saying. It's like an echo or an indistinct voice. But you see, in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, this is a booming voice of approval from God the Father. "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with you." First person voice to second person voice, direct speech right to Jesus. No need to amplify, no need to repeat the words, no need to put in hearing aids. It's very clear. Jesus got the approval of his Father in Mark chapter 1, and you know that someone cares for you when you have, number one, approval. How do you know when somebody cares? Well, it also happens when someone binds themselves to you. In powerful word and in action, they come upon you. It's like two becoming one. You go through good times, they're with you. You go through bad times, they're with you. They are bound to you. Two become one. Now, I know there's some theological challenges with that, explaining it that way, but that is kind of what is being described here in Mark chapter 1. God the Father binds himself with Jesus by the giving of the Spirit in our text. Mark's gospel describes this moment in a very unique way. It says that the heavens are ripped apart, torn apart, schizomai in the Greek, which that's where we get our modern English word schism from. It's a violent separating of the heavens, and the Spirit comes down and rests upon Jesus. Matthew and Luke describe this moment in much softer, gentler ways. They say the heavens kind of opened up and God came down. What Mark was saying, I believe, in this text was that God was cutting through all those heavens, coming down, and clearly showing that he was binding himself with Jesus with the giving of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit remained upon Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, the Holy Spirit went. Wherever the Holy Spirit went, Jesus went. They were bound together wherever they went. And Jesus experienced some lonely moments. In fact, right after this text, Jesus goes into the wilderness all alone. Jesus then was abandoned on his walk and journey to Jerusalem by all his disciples. But you see, he was bound to the Holy Spirit. He was never alone. Now think about those two things: approval and when someone binds themselves to you. If you have those two things, Jesus had them in his baptism, you can know with certainty that someone cares, that God cares. Now, as you hear this, we're talking about Jesus here. What does this have to do with you? You're different than Jesus. Pastor, that's nice to hear all those things that happened at Jesus' baptism, but at my baptism, none of those things happened. What you're talking about is the Son of God. He's kind of different than who I am. I just have a regular routine. Jesus was the Son of God. He performed miracles. He never actually committed a sin. He was perfect. My baptism was much different. You might be saying things like this: I had a cake and I had pictures, but I didn't see the heavens ripped apart and a spirit like a dove coming down and resting on me. I have a certificate with signatures on it from my baptism, but a big booming voice didn't say, "This is my child." I didn't have any of those experiences. Or maybe you're like me. I actually don't remember my baptism. I was baptized as a baby. In fact, many people in our congregation can relate to that. They probably don't remember when they were baptized. By the way, if you don't remember or you haven't baptized, please come and talk to me. Or you might be thinking today that God is kind of like the way he was described in the first century by Jews. That God is way up on the top tier of heaven, uninvolved, not really wanting to engage with the world and our current problems. Like, these are real questions that you might be asking this week. Why in the world did things happen the way that they did on Wednesday in Washington, D.C.? Or why in the world are things happening to me in my life the way that they are? God's not speaking, and God certainly isn't showing that he has in any way torn apart the heavens and come down and inhabited my world around me. My friends, here's the reality that I want to remind you of with your baptism today. There are some important realities to remind ourselves about our baptism. We have received the approval of God. And God himself has bound himself to us. There was another person at your baptism, maybe a pastor, or maybe it was a relative, and they said these words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." God gave his name to you. You are bound. Two became one. The divine presence is in you. You have his name on your heart. Martin Luther described baptism in a unique way, as he does with so many different things. It's always related to food. Luther talked about baptism like how different ingredients are mixed together into a cake. As you take all those ingredients and mix them together, the cake comes together and has one flavor. Now think about that for a moment. You know how a chocolate cake is made, all the ingredients in a chocolate cake: sugar, flour, eggs, vegetable oil, baking soda, some salt. I might be missing an ingredient or two. Maybe your recipe is different. But here's the point. Each of those individual ingredients tastes very distinctly different all by themselves. But then you mix it together. You bake that cake in the oven. And when it's done, you take it out and you put it down and you cut yourself a slice. And when you eat that slice, you never say this. I've never said this eating chocolate cake. "Honey, boy, the salt really tastes good in this cake today." You never say that. And you never say things like this: "Boy, the eggs in this cake, they were fresh. Wow, amazing." No, see, the ingredients are mixed together in such a harmonious way that there's one flavor. My friends, baptism says you are intertwined. That's another word Luther uses. You are intertwined, so intertwined with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that he has mixed himself with you. God is with us, not just on our side, but he's mixed himself with us. You have the divine presence. Now, that is the best of news, my friends, but it's also a challenge. Now, first of all, why is that the best of news? The best of news is that it gives us confidence. This is our confidence heading into 2021. Confidence is not found by searching inside of ourselves. To put it another way, confidence will not increase this year in us if we get new skills that make us more usable in the world. Confidence doesn't go up also if we perhaps were a little more positive about the outlook for 2021. Confidence also doesn't come when we just dig deeper and muster up more strength inside of ourselves. And the opposite is true, my friends. Think about this. Confidence also does not go down for a Christian if they lose things, if they lose a set of skills. Confidence also doesn't go down if we experience depression or sadness or extreme anxiety. Confidence also doesn't go down if things don't go well all around us. Confidence is based on our confidence in God. So if God is mixed with us, this is our confidence. And we can be confident no matter what we face in the year ahead. All we need to do is, when we're walking along through the year, is to pull out that card that says, "I've been baptized." Essentially what that says is, God's mixed himself with me. His presence is with me completely. That's confidence. But here's the challenge, my friends. Here's the challenge that I lay upon your heart. If we have been mixed with God and he has become a part of us, that means that our words and actions also represent God. Let me repeat that. If God has mixed himself with us, whatever our words and actions are a representation of God because he's mixed himself with us. Philippians 4 verse 8 says these words: "Finally, my friends, whatever is true, Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent or anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, sin is a damaging thing that we do. It damages who we are, and it hurts our life. It always does. But think about how this factors into our baptism. When we do something that misrepresents God, it makes God look bad. On the other side, if we do those things listed in Philippians, if we do what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, that is commendable, that is worthy of praise, anything that is excellent, we are giving a public witness of the God who has mixed himself with us. So here's the challenge. Are your words, actions, deeds, thoughts, are they representing the God who has mixed himself with you? Or are your words, actions, thoughts more representative of something else, of the secular world, or of your personal opinions? Our words, actions, deeds must represent the God who is with us in our baptism. Jesus was baptized, and the good news was he received the approval, the full approval of God. This is my son. I am well pleased with you. Jesus also in that moment had the binding of God the Father through the Holy Spirit throughout his life. He could always count on that no matter where he went, and he did in the wilderness. The wilderness, the Spirit sends him into the wilderness. My friends, you have the same thing in your baptism. God has approved of you, he's affirmed you, and he has bound himself with you. May that be your confidence. But be challenged in thought, word, and deed to represent the God who is in you. Amen.